Just an interesting side note I noticed as we were reading our scripture reading this morning, the blessings and cursings of the Old Covenant. I find it interesting that everything is physical. It has to do with, you know, blessing the nation for their produce, for offspring, for, you know, protection against other nations. I just thought that was kind of interesting, that it's all physical. Blessings and cursings there. So let us turn to Galatians as we continue this week. Galatians chapter 3. We'll start by reading verses 6 through 14. Just as Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them." But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree," that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So last week, we were looking at verses 5 through 10, which is where Paul puts forth his argument that salvation is by faith alone, apart from the law, and he goes on to prove that even Abraham, who was 430 years prior to the Mosaic Law, was justified by faith. It was Abraham's belief and faith in God that was counted to him for righteousness, not any work that he had done. We looked at the promises that God gave to Abraham, that he would be the father of many nations, his children would be given land, and that the promised Messiah would come from his lineage. All this God promised him while he was a Gentile. So basically, Paul dismantled the Jewish argument that because they are Jews and have the Mosaic law, that they are justified. Paul shows that justification comes only through faith, and that Abraham, the natural father of the nation of Israel, is also the father of all of those of faith, a holy nation. Paul also argues that the Gentile Christians are not just an add-on, but rather it was God's plan all along. His promise to Abraham that in him all nations will be blessed, not just Israel, the physical nation, but all those of faith from every nation. So then, those who are of faith are the true sons of Abraham, heirs to the promises, and grafted in by faith into the inheritance of the promised seed, which is Christ. So this week we'll start in verse 10. We'll be looking at the other side of the coin. So if justification comes by faith in Christ, and by faith alone, in Christ alone, then that raises the question, well, what about the law? Well, to start, Paul says that the law brings a curse. In Deuteronomy, when the people of Israel crossed the Jordan River, and entered into the promised land, they split. Six tribes stood on Mount Gerizim, and six stood on Mount Ebal, and recited a list of blessings and cursings, which is what we read this morning. Paul would be very familiar with this list of curses. Having these curses read while a person was being whipped was a standard Jewish punishment, to which Paul said that he was subject to five times for preaching the gospel. And the very last curse, "Cursed is anyone who does not obey and do all the things which are written in the book of the law." This last curse shows God's judgment against sinful mankind. Cursed is anyone who does not obey all things written in the law. God requires perfect obedience, perfect adherence to all of his commands at all times. Well, that is a problem, because there is no way that man can keep God's law. In fact, what Jesus taught went even further. So if we turn to Matthew chapter 5, we'll read verses 21 through 23. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. We read in verses 27 through 29 also, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body will be cast into hell. As if the law given to Moses wasn't hard enough, Jesus goes to the heart and the thoughts of every person. So how do we reconcile this? How do we as Christians keep the law? Well, there are a few different views. And in one, there is a belief system that says the law was given to Israel as a way for the Jews to be justified before God. And in this system, they say, well, that didn't work, so God then sent Jesus to die for our sins. Since the law was difficult to follow, God provided us an easier way. So that, therefore, the law does not apply to us in this church age. Well, this view is not entirely correct. I say not entirely because it does get one thing right, that we as believers are believers justified by faith, not by works of the law. Where they go wrong, though, is this idea that the law was intended to save. In fact, it was the opposite. As we see over and over again, the law is a curse. Paul says those who are under the law are under a curse. They have not been saved, but are cursed. Another issue, if we follow this line of reasoning, is that it can create a belief in two modes of salvation, one by law and one by faith. The idea is that God's original plan was to save his holy nation of Israel, but seeing that Israel was rebellious and instead turned to the Gentiles and made it easier for them, that all they had to do was believe in Jesus. That is a big problem. The Bible does not teach that. You would only get that conclusion if you're coming to scriptures with a preconceived idea that God used varying plans for different people to justify them. There has only ever been one way to be right with God, and that is Paul's argument throughout his writings. It is only by faith, and it has always been only by faith. Another view that some hold would like to separate the law of God into three parts, the moral, the civil, and the ceremonial. Then they conclude that the moral portion of the law, mainly the Ten Commandments, are a guide for the Christian's life, the way that we are to live a holy life. One major flaw with this idea is that Paul says here, as was said in Deuteronomy, cursed is everyone who does not do all things written in the law. The Bible never separates the law into sections. The law is all the commandments given to Israel, the moral, the civil, and the ceremonial. As Paul says, for as many are of the works of the law are under a curse, not just the Ten Commandments, but the entire whole law. So we end up with the issue of our Reformed brothers preaching that the law is a guide for the Christian life, that we must abide by the Ten Commandments. We must observe a specific Sabbath day in a particular way is one that they will argue a lot. But they are mistaken. It isn't just keeping the Ten Commandments to live a holy life. The Bible never separates the law into these categories, as they are likely to do, but rather they are all one. They are all God's law. And in the book of James, it says that whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point is guilty of it all. So if that is the case, there is no way that a person can be justified by keeping the whole law, for it is impossible for a sinful human to be perfect. So that raises a question. If we are not justified by living a good life, or by being a good person, or by following the Ten Commandments, what good are they? What is their purpose? Well, I think it is pretty clear here to see the purpose of the law was given to show man's state toward God. The law given by God shows what God requires of man. The law was given so that sin would become exceedingly sinful. It points to a perfect God who requires perfect obedience. And if we fail in one of his commands, then we are under the curse and guilty of them all. So the law isn't, as some would believe, as a guide to follow so we can receive God's blessing. Nor is it a system set up for justification for anyone. First Paul says in verse 10, all those who are under the law are under a curse. So if the law is a curse to those who follow it, if we are not justified before God by our works or by following law, then it must be by faith. Looking at verse 11, but no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Paul puts forth an argument that pretty much destroys this idea of using the Ten Commandments or a moral law as a guide for the Christian of the New Testament. He says that the just, those who are in Christ, shall live by faith. It is their faith in Christ that they live by, not by any law. Paul says it's obvious that no one, not one single person, is justified by the law. That means no one ever was, no one is, and no one ever will be. And if anyone would know, it would be Paul. For earlier in Galatians, he wrote that he was exceedingly zealous for the law, for the traditions of his fathers. Paul was a lawkeeper. He was a Jew of Jews. And God revealed to him on the road to Damascus that despite how he thought he was doing everything right, everything that God had commanded, and he had it all wrong, and it was this very law that was driving him to persecute the Christians. So it was clear to Paul that the law does not, cannot, and was never intended to save anyone from God's wrath. As I was studying through this week, an interesting thought came to my mind. Speaking of Paul's persecuting the church in light of God's promises to Abraham, we have Paul, who is a Jew, the promised physical offspring and child of Abraham, killing the promised spiritual children of Abraham, which is now here in Galatians, he is saying are the true heirs of promise. So really the two, the law and faith, are diametrically opposed to each other. You are either living by the law, looking to your works to gain right standing before God, or you are living by faith, believing God's promises of being justified in his Son, Jesus Christ. By the one, we are hoping that we did enough good things, that we did enough right things, that God will show us favor. The other is putting our life, our trust, and our hope in the sacrifice of a promised Messiah who died for us to pay the penalty of the law's curse. Paul says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We are all unable to live up to the law requirements. We are all under the law's curse and God's wrath. But Christ, the promised seed of Abraham, the firstborn of many brethren, became a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. To understand this, we need to understand the Old Testament law for the execution of a criminal. Deuteronomy 21 says that if a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. This form of capital punishment is very public, and it shows that the offender was under God's curse. The apostles often use the term hanging on a tree when referring to Christ and the cross. It would communicate to the Jews that Christ, the Son of God, the promised seed, had become cursed of God and was punished. The difference was that it was nothing that he had done himself. Christ was the perfect, sinless Son of God who took upon himself our curse, our punishment, and he endured God's wrath in our place so that we may become brothers and heirs of the promises with him. Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we may be reconciled to God through him. That is the gospel that Paul shared to the Galatians before. That is the gospel that Paul is reminding the Galatians of now, and it is faith in Christ, not the law, that saved them from God's wrath. Paul, by pointing to Abraham, proves that salvation and justification before God has always been by faith. As he reminds the churches of Galatia, and is teaching us today, that Christ is the promised seed to Abraham, the Messiah, who would give his life to save his people, the holy nation that God promised Abraham. All those who are of faith are sons of Abraham, and if sons, heirs according to the promise. That means us, Gentiles, we are heirs of the true promised land, and we are the true holy nation in Christ. If that does not encourage every one of you today as you go about your business, I don't know what will. You who are of faith are a child of God. You are joint heirs with Christ. So the next time you are struggling or having a rough day, remember that Christ, who suffered for you, who became a curse for you, who paid the penalty for your sins, who suffered God's wrath in your place, who bought you with his own blood, think upon these promises to Abraham, which come to us by faith. The very Creator, the sovereign God, had you, Christian, in his plan when he made those promises to Abraham. Let us close in prayer. Dear Lord, as we study these things, we just stand amazed at your sovereign grace, how we deserve nothing. Lord, we are cursed and under sin, but you sent your Son to die and take that curse for us in our place. Lord, we just give you all praise and glory for your sovereign work in salvation. And just be with us all this week and keep these things foremost in our mind as we go about our daily lives. And in Jesus' name, amen.